Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
This is our hope of righteousness, and our hope is coming. Our hope is not a place. It's not heaven. Our hope is Christ. It's the King, and He's coming back. The King is returning. Our hope is coming. Christian hope is not a wish list.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern-day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
I'm so glad, excited, pumped up. It's about to be on. That's what my pastor says. It's on. And if you've ever experienced a time in the Spirit where it was just on, you know what I'm talking about. Welcome to Truth Infusion. And we're coming from the Truth Infusion studios to wherever you are this morning, full of excitement, full of the Spirit, ready to see what God's going to do. I hope that you have been a part of the last 4 weeks. I've really been enjoying this time. We've taken some time to break apart one of the great, fantastic passages of Scripture for anybody who understands the relationship with Christ and the hope we have in the future with Him. There's a day that's coming that is, it's our day, man. It is Independence Day to the 100th degree. I'm talking about the day of rapture. And we've been looking at this through the passage that's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We started reading in verse 13, and we've gone on through about verse 16 now. And what we're going to do today is I think we'll be able to conclude this today. This is the fifth week, and I'm looking forward to concluding this, but also to allowing Matt, our studio guru, to take this and turn it into one of our teaching series on DVD, because I think this is a really exciting one to hand out. And I don't have time to really review over everything today, because we're going to get this finished today. So we're going to start. I'm going to read a few verses out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and then we're going to continue on in this teaching and hopefully get to the end of this exciting passage today. I love the way that this ends. So let's start back in verse 15 and read on through verse 17 and then begin to speak about that today. Verse 15 says, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord," Paul is writing the Thessalonican church, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep." And then verse 16 begins to really unfold the details of what that day is going to be like when Jesus returns for His bride. Listen, "For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." Now here's verse 17. We're going to really dig in right here today. "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." Heavenly Father, I ask from the bottom of my heart that You would take hold of these next few minutes. Apply Your Spirit, Your Holy Spirit, to be the teacher. And let us see, give us a glimpse of what this day will be like. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. In the last few weeks, we've broken this down into a few points. And the major points were this. On this fantastic day, the day of rapture, that Jesus Christ returns for His church, there's going to be some sounds to hear. The voice of Jesus crying out in excitement. The voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God. There's going to be a sight to see as the dead in Christ rise first. Then last week we talked about the fact that there's going to be a miracle to experience as we who are alive and remain here are physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually changed to be just like Jesus. For when we see Him, we'll be like Him. Amen. That's what it says in 1 John. And today we're going to take verse 17 and we're going to begin with this point. There will be on this great resurrection day a meeting to enjoy, a meeting to enjoy. It says, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds. Now, you and I have in our mind a picture of us rising into the clouds in the sky, and I guess there may possibly be clouds in the sky that day, but that's not what this word clouds is speaking of. This word clouds is the same Greek word that it talks Paul uses, if Paul was the writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 11 when he speaks of that great cloud of witnesses. I believe that's chapter 12. When he speaks of that great cloud of witnesses, so many witnesses in Hebrews chapter 12 that it's like a cloud of them. You know, this is the cloud it's talking about. It's such a great mass of the children of God, the people of God, from the children of Israel, the Old Testament saints, the New Testament saints, those that are presently here with us, alive and dead, those that are to come, that are even not born yet, all of us rising together. It would look like a mass of clouds. Those white robes are shining. It's going to look like a mass of clouds in the air. We will meet him in the clouds of myriads of saints. A meeting to enjoy. Okay, David, a meeting with whom? Well, I want to just throw a few things out there. First of all, there's going to be a meeting, a reunion with relocated loved ones. And I tell you right now, I am not going to miss it. I don't like to say that they're dead. They just temporarily relocated. If they're dead in Christ, if they were Christians when they left this world, then they are still Christians, Christ followers today, alive and well more than they've ever been before. But let me tell you something, they're not lost when you know where they are. They're just relocated. And one of these days, there's going to be a family reunion, my goodness, like nobody's ever experienced before. If we live long enough, we will all reach a time in life when this life stops giving to us and begins to take away from us. Look, I'm only 35, but there are a lot of people that this life has taken away, but they're not lost. They're not gone. They're just relocated. Lost means you don't know where something is. I know where they are. They've just been taken away. You know what? I'm ready to see them again. My grandfathers are gone. My grandmothers are gone. I've got one grandmother remaining, and she's probably going to outlive me. But I miss those that have gone on. And one of these days, there's going to be a reunion that we don't want to miss, guys. Not only a family reunion, but there's what I like to call the Holy Bible Hall of Fame party. And guys, listen, I'm going to attend the party. I've got my ticket. I'm ready to go. I'm talking about Old and New Testament saints on parade. They're all going to be there. And there's just a few of them, if you don't mind, I would like to talk with. I got some questions I want to ask a few folks. I want to ask Jacob, what was it like to wrestle with Jesus? And did he have some good moves? He had to have had the best wrestling moves ever. I want to ask Elijah, what did old Ahab's face look like when you straight up outran his chariot? A chariot pulled by horses and you, an old man, ran past him. What did it look like on his face? I would love to ask Jonah. Why? Jonah, why? Did it take you 3 days to say, I'm sorry? 3 days in the fish's gut to change your mind, you hard-headed sucker. Why did it take you that long? It would not have taken me 3 seconds. I would have been apologizing in languages I had not yet spoken. I'd love to say, John, what was that like when you baptized the Messiah? Tell me what that felt like. I'd love to ask Zacchaeus, what did you feed Jesus for lunch that day? I can't wait to see Stephen because I want to know, what was it like to look up as stones beat and battered and broke your body and see Jesus Christ standing up for you? Looking into his eyes, what was that like? I saw Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac talk to Mark and Timothy. Oh, but I said, Timothy, I want to see Jesus, for he's the one who died for me. Oh, then I bowed on my knees and cried holy. When I saw the Lord, I cried holy. Holy, I clapped my hands and sang glory, glory to the Son of God. But meeting of all meetings, a moment with my Savior that I'm going to treasure for eternity. You know, we've all got goals and moments in life that we dream about, that special day, that perfect day that we dream about. Many times in quiet moments, I know we play those days through our minds like movies, these dreams about these days, these perfect moments, like movies in our minds. And I don't know what your greatest life's dream is, but I can tell you what mine is. More than anything, listen to me, I want to stand before Jesus. I want to look into those piercing eyes, and I'd love to hear him say to me, good job, David. You did good, and I'm so proud of you. I don't know if Jesus can look at my life and say, I'm so proud of you, David. But that's my perfect moment, and you know what? I want to sing for him. I don't know what I'll sing yet. Maybe I know the song already. I don't know. But I've sang before thousands and thousands of people, and I've sang to Jesus my whole life, but I want to see him face to face and sing. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still, will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall, will I say hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine when I see Jesus for the first time, and the end of verse 17 says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So shall we ever be with the Lord. What's the translation? From that moment on, we will be with him always and forever. There's going to be a meeting to enjoy. The final verse of this amazing passage of Scripture is verse 18. Paul says this, therefore, comfort one another with these words. I want to finish this show and this series out, the return of the King, with this last point. When the King returns for us, there is going to be a comfort to experience. Paul said, comfort one another with these words. The word comfort in the Greek has two possible meanings. I believe either of these meanings applies very well to this moment. So when Paul uses the word comfort one another, he may mean the version of this word that we think about most often, to encourage one another, to give each other encouragement through comfort. You see, guys, you gotta realize this. This is our hope of righteousness. And our hope is coming. Our hope is not a place. It's not heaven. Our hope is Christ. It's the King. And he's coming back. The King is returning. Our hope is coming. Christian hope is not a wish list. It's not some unreachable pipe dream. It's not, as some people describe, as some fanciful way to pacify the weak-minded Christians. Christian hope is real. It's not a matter of if, but when. It's a promise. Christian hope is a assured and coming promise. My friend, Jesus is coming. I know you're struggling. I know you're going through life. You're still stuck on planet Earth here, and there's struggle involved. I understand that. But take heart. Be encouraged. There's a better day coming. The King will return. He's promised us. I go to prepare a place, and when I have prepared the place, I will come back for you. The King is coming back. Be encouraged. Be comforted by that fantastic promise. There's a story that was published some time ago in Christianity Today. It's about a particular orphanage that was it's run and operated by a certain, I believe it's a Baptist ministry, if I remember correctly. But this is no ordinary orphanage. So this place houses and cares for God's mentally handicapped babies. Only the mentally handicapped children with no caregivers, no lovers of their persons, no family to keep them, live in this orphanage. And they don't only love them and care for them and raise these forgotten, unwanted, beautiful children, but they tell them about Jesus. They tell them about the birth of Jesus and the life of Jesus. They tell them about the death and the resurrection of Jesus. But they don't even stop there. They also tell them, this article explained, that Jesus was coming back. And when Jesus comes back, He's coming to them. He's coming to receive them, these unwanted, beautiful children that live in this orphanage. Jesus is coming back to get you. Why? Because Jesus wants to take you to live in His house. He wants you to live with Him. These kids that never had a home, never had someone that wanted them to live in their house, never had a place to call their own. They want them to know that there is a lover of their soul. There is one that is coming for them. His name is Jesus, and He wants them to live in His house. And this article explained that of all the chores that have to take place to keep this place clean and running and moving forward, the hardest chore to keep up with is keeping the windows clean. Because little dirty, grubby fingers and little dirty noses stay pressed up against the glass, looking to the sky, because they believe that Jesus is coming back and He's going to take them to live at His house. Simple-minded, childlike faith. Truth seeker, listen. Jesus wants you to live in His house. I know our homes are not perfect, as good as they can be, as wonderful of a gift as they are. This world definitely isn't. But Jesus, His home is everything we desire and we dream of. There's a song that we used to sing, "Come and go with me to my Father's house." It's a big, big house. Lots and lots of room. Big, big table. Lots and lots of food. It's got a big, big yard. We can even play football. It's a big, big house. It's my Father's house. And one of these days, He's coming back. So be encouraged. Not only does that word encourage mean to comfort, but it can also mean to exhort. Now, that's not a word we use very often. But exhort means to motivate someone to action, to excite someone to action. When I used to work at a place called Heartlight Ministries, one of the things that we had there as a great lesson in teaching was what we called the motivator. The motivator was a bar stool that we had rigged with the coil from a Model T, and it would send high voltage through the nodes under the seat there. And if you happen to be sitting on the motivator when the button was pushed, you get a buzz. All right, just like those gag gifts that you put on your hand and you shake their hand and they get a buzz. It wasn't dangerous at all, but it just gave them a little bump. And we'd play a game where they'd have to hold this toy and fit these blocks with different shapes into the right holes. And we'd count down. If it didn't get to the right time, they didn't get it done in time. By the time we got counted down to one, the button got pushed and they would spring off that seat like they were high jumping 8 foot tall bar. And they loved it. And the lesson was to teach that pain motivates us to action. Pain motivates you to move to find relief. Well, let me take that in a different direction now. The right exhortation The right word in the heart of a believer should motivate you to action. See, we're not called to be sedentary, set in our place, resting on our blessed assurance people. We are to be people of action, annexing territory, gaining ground for Christ, preaching the word of God to all creatures in all nations. Listen, we've got a job to do, and the King is coming back, so our time is limited, my friend. Jesus is coming. The day is fast approaching when we will, time's going to run out on us. If you have friends, if you have family, if you've got neighbors or coworkers and they don't know the Lord, your window of opportunity is closing. Their chance for eternal blessing, it's running out. Do you really believe what you say you believe? If so, you should be motivated by the fact that the King is coming back. He's going to return soon. Very soon, the Lord will descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ are going to rise. We are going to be changed. Do you believe these words? Do you really believe it? Then how can you finish this day without telling them about the return of the King that loves them so much? Do you believe this is true? And if you love them at all, go tell them. Go tell them before it's too late. It's not your job to save them. Please listen. You're not given the task of saving their souls. You can't. Your job is to tell your story. Tell them what Christ has done for you. Tell them the truth about the person that loved them enough to die for them, the one that lived perfected in this world, to die the perfect sacrificial death in their place so that their sins won't be accounted to them. Tell them that if they die today without Him, they are doomed forever to answer to the penalty of that which they have done and committed in sin against the Lord. Tell them that there is an escape. There is a way out. It's in relationship with Jesus. He's coming soon. You don't have much time. Let me exhort you today. Let me motivate you to action. Don't forget that you're not just here to be a good person. You're here to be a mouthpiece. It's your job to go tell them. And maybe when Paul said, "Comfort one another with these words," what he wanted us to realize was that we ought to be exhorted and motivated to action with these words. With these words, the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain, we shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Listener, today, are you going to be with me when I go meet the Lord? Are you going to be there when the King returns? Well, it's been a great series. And I have just a few minutes left, and I'd like to conclude this series with a bit of a quote from a man named Malcolm Muggeridge. And many of you may have not heard of him, but Muggeridge was a famous British journalist, considered by many the greatest, most influential journalist of all times. And he passed away, I believe, in the late 80s, and he was from Britain, as I said. He lived a great deal of his life as an agnostic, but became a Christian later in life, and brilliant mind, brilliant thinker, but when he became a Christ follower, amazing things. Go look up some quotes on Malcolm Muggeridge, but I want to close the series of The Return of the King with one of my favorite quotes of all time. And this came from Muggeridge. Listen to what he said. "We look back upon history and what do we see? Empires rising and falling, revolutions and counter-revolutions, wealth accumulating and wealth dispersed, one nation dominant and then another. Shakespeare speaks of the rise and the fall of great ones that ebb and flow with the moon." Now listen to how he goes on with this thought. He says, "I look back on my own fellow countrymen," remember he was from Britain, "ruling over a quarter of the world, with the great majority of them still convinced in the words of what is still a famous song that the God who made the mighty would make them mightier yet. I've heard a cracked and crazed Austrian announce to the world the establishment of a German Reich that would last 1,000 years. I've heard an Italian clown announce that he would restart the calendar to begin his own ascension to power. I've heard a murderous Georgian brigand in the Kremlin, acclaimed by the intellectual elite of the world as a wiser than Solomon, more humane than Marcus Aurelius, more enlightened than Ashoka. I've seen America, wealthier and in terms of weaponry, more powerful than the rest of the world put together, so that if the American people had desired, they could have outdone an Alexander or a Julius Caesar with the range and the scale of their conquest, all in one lifetime, all gone with the wind. Now listen to his conclusion. England is now a part of a tiny island off the coast of Europe, threatened with dismemberment and even bankruptcy. Hitler and Mussolini are dead, remembered only in infamy. Stalin, a forbidden name in the regime he helped to found and dominate for some 3 decades. America, haunted by the fears of running out of those precious fluids that keep her motorways roaring and the smog settling, and troubled with the troubled memories of a disastrous campaign in Vietnam and the victories of the Don Quixotes of the media as they charged the windmills of Watergate, all in one lifetime, all gone with the wind. And listen to his post-thought, very powerful. Yet, behind the debris of these self-styled sullen supermen and imperial diplomatists, there stands the gigantic figure of one person, because of whom, by whom, in whom, and through whom alone mankind might still have hope, the person of Jesus Christ. And I finish this series with this thought. Is Jesus still that kind of gigantic figure in your life, Truth Seeker? If not, I encourage you. I comfort you with these words. Seek Him out. Make things right. We have no more time to waste time anymore. The day is fast approaching. The King is returning. And with that, we conclude this series. It's been exciting. It's been great teaching. Use it to benefit yourself and someone else. And we'll see you next week. Until then, keep seeking the truth.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.